I'm going to be reading today's scripture, and it is Isaiah 55, 1 through 9. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
The sermon this morning continues in our Lenten theme of God as the author of our story and living ink. As we think about our own stories, as we think about being a part of God's story, and continue to post all of your guys' responses to the different questions each week. And I've really enjoyed being able to read everyone's thoughts here, and this morning we're going to explore together our own stories and how we take time to simply listen in our own stories. And that might seem really simple, listening, but I actually think that it's such a profound theme in the text here in Isaiah, and really throughout the entire biblical narrative, as to how we are taking time to slow down, and in a very noisy world that we live in, with lots of talking, how to slow down and listen. And in our listening, actually learning how to live more abundantly and fully. And so I think that this text in Isaiah can help us to learn to figure out a little bit more what it means to listen and to live. As we read this text in Isaiah, it's really important to think also about the life of Jesus and the personhood of Jesus Christ, because Isaiah has a lot of parallels and what some people would call a foretaste of the life of Jesus Christ. As we read about this invitation to abundant life in Isaiah 55, in my NRSV, that's the heading, an invitation to abundant life. What a beautiful heading. This is clearly in the context of the Exodus and Israel returning to their home, the Promised Land. And in their returning to their home, this new life. But there's also a very clear parallel here and foretaste to Jesus the Messiah as well, as the invitation to abundant life as well. So just to think about our theme here over Lent, in week one we explored Jesus in the wilderness, and we looked at, in last week, Psalm 65 and the full range of emotions in our own stories, from trusting God to sometimes having fear and then to praising God again. Our stories, we praise, we cry, we praise. And now this week we're looking at how Jesus gives us abundant life and how sometimes we find that abundant life by slowing down a little bit and listening more. And so as we enter in this morning's text, would you pray with me? God, we thank you in this Lenten time that you are with us as we journey to Good Friday and to your journey to the cross, that it allows us to reflect on our own times of brokenness, our own times of darkness and suffering, while also keeping in mind the resurrection that comes in this story as well. And so, Lord, this morning as we look at this text in Isaiah, we just invite your Holy Spirit to be with us again and to continue to teach us as we try to follow you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, like I just said, chapter 55 is really about the theme of a new exodus, a new return coming home. And this understanding in these first verses of come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is referencing a banquet meal. And this is some really interesting context here to understand. As I was digging into the text this week, it was really fascinating. But within verses 1 to 3, we see these imperatives, and imperative is another word for like commands, prompting, calling, and urging Israel, the faithful, to recognize the fullness of this moment in their life, and in that, the fullness of God. In the ancient world, when a new king would assume the throne, he would often issue a new edict, declaring a release from all debts. And as part of this edict, the king would also call for a great banquet to be enjoyed by the people. And so both events here, the edict and the banquet, are signaling a new day for these people, a new king and a new day. And the opening lines of this chapter remind the hearer of such a banquet, and more importantly, this new life and this new day as they return home. And then within this understanding of God calling Israel to something new, it's very interesting that there's a very strong command to listen to what this new thing might be that God is doing. The call for them to listen to Yahweh in verse 2b says, listen carefully to me, eat what is good, suggests that it's more than just a material provision here that God is doing. This is more than just material blessings as they return home to the promised land. Yes, that's an important part. God provides for material needs. But there is also an important imperative here to listen to the new thing that God is doing in their own hearts, in their own personal journeys with God. And the people are called to listen to what Yahweh is about to say, suggesting that the word of Yahweh is an important part of their own life. Such this emphasis on listening is made even clearer in 3a. Listen so that you may live. And this is the interesting thing, is that Israel is coming from a time where they also were hearing many things, but they were stories that they were hearing not of life, but of death. They were stories of drinking deeply from the waters of deportation, of exile and estrangement. And so now there is an invitation to listen to something new, to something that will give you life, to turn your ear from the stories that told you that you are child, to now listen to the stories that invite you to a new life. It doesn't say debate with one another about all the hard times you had in the past and live. Or it doesn't say talk to everybody that you know about this new life and boast about all the glory that you have now and live. It says, listen so that you may live. Listen again to the story of God Yahweh in your life. Remember the story of what God has done for you. A story of God creating you, of calling Abraham and a people, of Isaiah, the prophet, calling them to new life. Listen to these words of life. In a world where there is so many stories of death and of exile, listen to what this new thing is that I am doing in your life. And so one of the fundamental questions as these people were coming back is that, who is this new life for? Who is this new life for? And as you read these verses, you're going to see mentioned a few times the covenant of David. The covenant of David. And one way to think about this is think about our body here as a covenant community. Okay, so we are a community that has a history, that has met together for many years. There's family connections here, and it's a covenant community that's held together by Jesus, who is the center of our faith. And we think about this covenant community here, and we can ask, who is this covenant family for? Is it for people that only have everything right and perfect? Or is it for anybody on the journey trying to find faithfulness in Jesus and new life in Jesus? And that's the same question that this community here was asking too. Is this new life only for the line of David? And within that line of David, only those that have kept the law perfectly? That would have been an understanding that they might have had. But it's very clear that this new life that they are to listen for goes beyond that. This new life is for those who are from other nations, and even more importantly than that, it's for those that have sinned and that have fallen away from God. In verse 3b to 5, the Lord has announced the plan for His people. And verses 6 to 7 stand as this open invitation to those who desire to participate. Even the wicked and the unrighteous, there is hope. In verse 7, let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. The beautiful thing about this passage in Isaiah and the foretaste of Jesus is that this new covenant community that will experience a new thing and a new life is for everybody on the journey of discipleship in Christ. Even those that have fallen and are broken and have sinned are absolutely a part of this new community. Because the theme here of reconciliation in Christ and forgiveness is just so strong. This invitation to new abundant life is not just for everybody that has it right, but it's for all of us who get it wrong every day. And so I think it actually shows that this invitation to abundant life allows us to be vulnerable, because it's an invitation for all of us wherever we're at, even in our brokenness. And so you can imagine if you are part of this Davidic line of David covenant, and now all of a sudden you hear, wait, anybody can be a part of this? Even those that have sinned? Even those from other nations? How can they be a part of it? It's that question of like, well, how are they allowed to be in too? And here's the response to God. You think you know who's in and who's out? Guess what? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's the response of God. When we think we know who has it right and who doesn't have it right, we're reminded quickly to be very humble in who we think has it right. We're reminded very quickly that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and our ways are not the ways of God always. It's a pretty powerful way to end this section. And so here we are, 2016, and we have an invitation again to listen to the new thing that God is doing right in our own lives and in the life here at Whitmer Heights. And as I was thinking about listening again to what God is doing, listening for that new thing, that new life that God is doing, just as He did here for Israel, the first thing that I thought of is that it's just so hard to listen sometimes and to be quiet. Even as I'm scrolling through Facebook, I'm distracted by so many things trying to grab my attention and for me to like. Whether it's, you know, cute puppies or a theological debate on eschatology or how Trump is taking over. Whatever it is, you know, I can like whatever. And there's so much noise. I guess that's the word that comes to mind. There's so much noise around us, and there's so many stories around us that are trying to get our attention and vie for our attention. And how often I don't just be quiet and listen. This past week, Emily and I were making homemade pizza, and we had to let the dough rise. And so it was like, oh, wow, we can't just eat right away. We have to wait like an hour for the dough to rise. This is different. and so we had this like hour to burn, and we were hungry. So we were like, well, I guess we just need to sit down and wait. and so we just were quiet. And we were intentional. We said, let's be quiet for 5 minutes and not say anything. Wow. That was a new experience there. And I was just sitting on the recliner and just quiet. And oh my goodness, it was almost the most amazing 5 minutes I've had in a very long time, because I was just going, reflecting back on the day. And I was just kind of going through where I saw God at work in my day. And that never would have happened unless I was just quiet for 5 minutes. And so maybe part of the invitation here, and this emphasis on listening, listen so that you may live, is a reminder of how busy and noisy our world is. And as we listen again to this story here, this story of new life, that we actually find new life, a new abundant life for us. That's the small invitation for this week, that as all of us are always on this journey, and again, this covenant community, that wherever we're at, even all of us who are broken, this new life that God is calling us to listen again in sometimes the quietness to what God is doing, to where we see God at work in our lives, to where we see God at work in our church community. As I mentioned, I think that this parallels Jesus completely. This foretastes Jesus as that new life. And so the ritual of response here is to think about the life of Jesus. And again, as I said, like, I feel like we're filled with so much noise and so many words sometimes, and so many perspectives and articles and sermons. Sometimes you just need to narrow it down and get down to the very simple. Just like, what is, if you were going to sum something up very simply, what would you say about who Jesus is? Or maybe about who Jesus is to you. What is your six word story? In a world that's so busy and so noisy, how do you sum it down to six words? Maybe it could be abundant, reconciling follower of Jesus, or it could be called, lived, died, resurrected, new life. What is your six word story of Jesus? And we're going to just take a minute, because we don't have a ton of time, but take a minute or two here to write your six-word story of Jesus. Maybe it's a six-word story of where you have found new life. And we're going to hang them up again, next week, and it'll be really cool to be able to read each other's six-word stories about Jesus as we figure out together how to follow Jesus in our lives. May we listen anew to the new thing that God is doing in our lives. Amen.